The union movement hits Congress. Stocks are down and a paean to the Piggly Wiggly. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. There are moves at the federal level to beef up benefits for firefighters. The House has passed a bill with bipartisan support to get firefighters what's called presumptive coverage. This means disability and retirement benefits given conditions that could be caused by their work. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here.
And David, this bill called the Federal Firefighters Fairness Act covers 16 illnesses for which firefighters, including those who respond to forest fires, have had to show a causal link to specific harmful exposure during their jobs. The bill's proponents say that's an undue burden. For example, in certain cancer cases, only 9% of firefighters' claims have been accepted. This bill changes rules so a link is presumed because scientific research has shown links for certain illnesses, and firefighters who get sick can get benefits more easily. Now, the change is projected to cost a relative pittance for the federal government, $24 million over 10 years. The bill's proponents say that's paid for by other regulatory maneuvers.
And 9/11, first responders exposed to the toxic ruins of the World Trade Center got something like this, right?
Yeah, that's right. I spoke with the bill's author, Democratic Congressman Salud Carbajal, and he argues that, in fact, there's a lot of precedent for this.
It's very similar to what the VA does for presumption of veterans' service in certain areas. It's the same as the Department of Energy presumptions that have been issued for a number of hazard occupations. It also is similar to the Black Lung Benefits Act that provided presumption to many coal miners.
Now, not everyone agrees with that characterization. Some Republicans say this bill goes farther than other presumptive benefits. But these are the kinds of changes that wildland firefighters have been asking for. Federal agencies have had trouble recruiting and retaining these firefighters. And some 70 House Republicans did vote, David, for the passage of this bill. Now it goes to the Senate.
All right, Nova, thank you. All right, down or up? Down. One of those days so far for very volatile financial markets. Dow futures down 0.6%, 195 points. S&P futures down 0.7%. NASDAQ futures down 1.1%. Interest rates down quite a bit this week. 2.83% for the 10-year interest rate, when the other day it was 3.2. The dollar is stronger still, just $1.04 to buy a euro. Starbucks, Amazon, and now possibly Congress. For the first time, staffers in the House of Representatives will be allowed, if they so choose, to unionize following a narrow vote. It goes to the Senate next. Marketplace's Matt Levin reports.
Tim LaPira recalls two constants about being a staffer in Congress in the late 90s.
And needing to be responsive at all times and being barely able to pay the rent.
Now, a professor at James Madison University, LaPira made about $30,000 back then, which is what some junior staffers are making now. Low pay and long hours have driven some congressional staff to try to unionize. LaPira says the ability to negotiate for higher pay could help slow a problematic revolving door for staffers.
And typically, what they're going to do is work on the Hill long enough in order to become a lobbyist.
Nick Penniman with Good Government Group Issue 1 says lawmakers on both sides of the aisle know retaining talent is a big problem, but if the GOP takes control of the House this November...
One of the first things the Republican majority will probably do is repeal the ability for the staff to unionize.
That could leave staffers right where they were before, waiting for a bipartisan solution. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.
Sometimes people bond with the places they shop. You know, you'd be sad if they canceled the Wednesday farmers market. To Tennessee now, where a Piggly Wiggly supermarket has closed in a changing neighborhood. Here's Juliana Kim of WPLN in Nashville.
It's the last week for the Piggly Wiggly near Nashville's downtown. And Ken Blair, a regular, says the store reminds him of the small mom-and-pop shops he used to go to.
It's like a family atmosphere here.
But Piggly Wiggly is a chain, with two more locations in Nashville and hundreds across the country. For Blair and others, it fills a critical need for residents who don't have easy access to groceries. It's especially tough for Gwendolyn Sutton, who has a hard time walking.
I've got a slipped disc to my back.
Sutton lives two blocks away from the store at a public housing building for the elderly and people with disabilities. She went to Piggly Wiggly about 3 times a day on her motorized wheelchair. Now, she and other tenants are unsure how they'll get by.
Probably have to catch a bus to go down to Kroger or Walmart or pay somebody to take you.
Sutton sees Piggly Wiggly as the latest victim of the city's changing landscape. A developer has studied putting apartments and retail space there. The first Piggly Wiggly opened in 1916 in Memphis.
In those days, you didn't pick up. When you went to a store, you called out your order to a clerk, and a clerk, listening to you, gathered what you wanted, and then you paid.
Mike Freeman has written about the rise and fall of the founder, Clarence Saunders. Freeman says Piggly Wiggly revolutionized supermarkets.
Saunders thought, well, you don't need all these clerks to run a grocery store. He's just put the products out in reach of the customers.
Another Saunders innovation, putting a price tag on every item.
The Piggly Wiggly design is the basic design of every convenience store.
But the chain's presence has been shrinking in recent years. Stores in South Carolina and Alabama have also recently closed, raising concerns about food deserts. In Nashville, I'm Juliana Kim for Marketplace.
And this is a sport I don't play, but there's news that in the Derby to be the world's most valuable corporation, stock price times the number of stocks, Apple has fallen out of number one, with tech stocks in the dumps. Now at number one, the Saudi oil company Aramco, which is raking it in with oil prices so high. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.